This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 102, recorded live November the 8th, 2015, where today CJ and I are going to talk about some news in the Microsoft Cloud space with Azure and Office 365.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Good afternoon, CJ. How are you?
I'm here.
This is the first time we've kind of done good afternoon in a while, I guess.
And in person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm out here in Seattle. I guess we're doing this in Bellevue right now.
Yeah, why are you here? Why don't you fill people in?
We're recording this on a Sunday. Hopefully our producer doesn't get too pissed off at us for
sorry, Rade.
Shipping this at such a late hour and hopefully getting a quick turnaround to get this out. But so last week I was here for the MVP Summit in Redmond, where Microsoft brings a couple thousand people out from all over the world to meet with engineers and meet with product group guys and find out stuff that's going on and some NDA stuff. So really cool getting the feedback sessions of sitting down with people and having a session on what's coming, what they want feedback on. It was interesting because the first two or three days it was mostly Microsoft presenting to the MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Thursday bit, Jeremy Thake and Sonia Koptiev set up a Thursday thing where the MVPs presented back to engineering. And there was another little activity we did during the week, too, where this was my favorite part, actually, was when we didn't have – there was no presentation. There was no slide. There were no projectors. There was nothing, no demos or anything. But it was like a couple subject matter experts would be in the room, and they'd kind of say, all right, what do you want to talk about? And we'd all kind of go around and start – you know, some of us kind of put questions and stuff in Yammer ahead of time to where we could triage them. But they'd have, what do we want to talk about? You know, it was somebody up there, let's just say, talking about apples. And we'd say, here are the things we want to hear about. And we then would prioritize them. And then it would just be an open discussion time box for like 10 minutes per topic or whatever.
Right, so it's kind of like an unconference in some ways.
It really was. I mean, that to me, that was my favorite part of the entire week. I thought it was the best part because I felt like we got the most stuff accomplished. But yeah, so I stuck around for the weekend. It's a Sunday afternoon here in Bellevue. It's sunny now. It was pouring this morning.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm doing a little bit of work here on Monday, and then I fly home on Tuesday. But hey, take advantage of the fact that we're
in the same place at the same time. It doesn't happen all that often.
Nah, too far, few and far between.
I think the last show was us drunk in a German bar.
Yeah, well, we were drunk after we recorded that.
That's right.
We were only a beer and a half into that show.
That's right.
Everyone thought we were drunk, though, so.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that, people.
Yeah.
Something we're doing this one in your car in a parking lot in downtown Bellevue after a coffee.
Looking shifty, that's for sure.
Yeah, so what are you up to?
I'm spending a bunch of time at work on doing a bunch of planning around architecture of our app and things. So looking into like queuing and messaging with technologies like Service Bus and Azure and RabbitMQ and Kafka and things like that. Also looking into containerization and Docker a little bit more and how we're going to, you know, build and architect our app and various sort of loosely coupled and componentized architecture. And so I'm doing some POC work on all of that and playing around with the queuing and seeing what I can get all up and running making some decisions on how we're going to build a few of our pieces.
Yeah, it's cool that you mentioned containerization. I've paid a little bit of attention to it, I guess, on the peripheral for the last, I guess it's been around and more discussed in the last year, 12 to 18 months, maybe. But I guess you and I, we talked a little bit about it the other night, and I was looking at it for a future project that I'm working on. And I spent some of yesterday afternoon and all morning this morning digging into it. And it's really appealing. It's really appealing. It's a different way to think about things. But it's this whole concept of like microservices and a really loosely coupled architecture. And it's pretty slick. We definitely should do a more detailed show on this.
Yeah, let's do a geek out on the container side of thing at some point. But it's definitely a really interesting technology. It's making a lot of strides and people are doing a lot of work on it at the moment. So it's coming along pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. We should do a show where just we talk about it so that, and then get an expert out there to kind of correct everything that we didn't really say correctly.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good.
Do that in the future. How about some news?
Yeah, let's dive in.
You want to go first?
Sure. So the big news of the week is what a disaster OneDrive Consumer is right now. My goodness. So the blog article is from the OneDrive team. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure I know who wrote it, poor guy. But it says, OneDrive storage plans change in pursuit of productivity and collaboration. And which really doesn't say anything. And then it gets into, they're basically taking unlimited storage away from OneDrive Consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd promised this a while back.
About a year ago, or less than a year ago, right?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, they're basically saying that there have been some people who've abused the unlimited storage, and so they're wrecking it for everybody. I'm paraphrasing here.
Yep.
So they're going to take away unlimited storage, and they're going to drop back down to 1 terabyte. They say here that somebody, in some instances, have exceeding 75 terabytes per user, or 14,000 times the average in OneDrive Consumer. So they're dropping it down to 1 terabyte, which you'll get with Office 365, Home, Personal, or University, right? So you get a terabyte of storage included with your Office 365 subscription. And if you're not an Office 365 subscriber, you can also buy 100 and 200 gig plans. Sorry, the 100 and 200 gig plans are changing, and they're being replaced with a 50 gig plan for $1.99 per month.
$1.99.
What? Yes. $1.99 per month.
Right.
And then to add to pain, the free OneDrive stuff is going back to 5 gigs from 15 gigs for current and new users.
Mm.
And then if you were doing automatic uploads from OneDrive on your phone to OneDrive for photos, then you got an extra 15 gig camera roll storage bonus, but that's also going to be discontinued.
Yeah.
So here's how I would summarize it. Pain and misery for OneDrive users.
Consumer.
Yes, this doesn't affect business.
Right. Doesn't affect OneDrive for business.
Yep.
I think that the funniest part of this entire thing was the title of the article by the Ars Technica guys.
Mm.
It says, Microsoft removes unlimited storage for OneDrive Unlimited. Removes the unlimited storage from the OneDrive Unlimited. Something like that. We flipped the story into our flipboard, but it was, we had both the article... Both the article from the OneDrive blog and the one from Ars Technica in here. But I found it really interesting. And it's, you know, I know that they said that, you know, they kind of singling out like, you know, 3 or 4 different people for blowing it, having 70 some odd gigs storage in there, doing like PC backups and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that's a great excuse.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like it's the whole story.
Here's my take on it. And again, like, I know nothing about this, but my take on it is, hey, let's blame a bunch of users we don't really like and blame it on them. But really, our motivation is we realize we're not winning in the storage wars against Dropbox and Apple, more so now Apple because of a great integrated experience in iOS and Google. And so let's focus on business.
Yeah.
And so basically all their plans now pretty much align with Dropbox and iCloud. The pricing's a little bit different, but it's not ridiculously different.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much in line with all those other providers. And so now it's like, sure, you may not have been able to run those really expensive users, but you've basically indicated that you don't care and you're not prepared to try and fight for share and consumer storage. And instead, it reads to me like they're going to focus on business.
Yeah.
Which is not a silly move on Microsoft's part, I think, personally.
No, it's not. I mean, you can't be everywhere. You can't be the answer for everybody, for everything. And Microsoft does a better job for these kinds of services. Microsoft does do a better job for this around the business side than they do on the consumer side. So it makes sense to do it like this.
Yeah, I think it's... They're way ahead in business than everybody else.
Mm.
And they make lots of money from it, right, with Office 365. And so why wouldn't you put all of your resources into making that as good as possible and getting as much share from anybody else, like Box and Google and things like that, and make sure you don't, you know, try to fight two wars and lose on both.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. There was a related news, too, that we had, too, about Dropbox Enterprise, too. So
yeah, it's it kind of follows nicely on from that Dropbox had a conference on last week. I think it was Dropbox Open or something like that. I can't remember the name of the conference, where they announced Dropbox Enterprise, which, for those of you who are not familiar, there's Dropbox, which you're probably familiar with at home. Then there's Dropbox for Business, which they're also renaming.
Yeah, we're dropping the four.
Yep, they're dropping the four out of the name. So in true, like, you know, Valley naming, you know, what's changed? Everything. Yeah. They've dropped the four out of the name. So now it's Dropbox Business.
Sound a little hooly there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now there's also Dropbox Enterprise. So it's a new tier of offering from Dropbox, specifically targeting enterprise customers. And my take on it is you use Dropbox at home, Dropbox Business is for teams and smaller companies, and then Dropbox Enterprise is they're trying to, very obvious to me at least, they're trying to go for where the money is at in these things, and that's at the enterprise end. And they're figuring out giving away storage to the consumer end is not where they're going to make any money. And so it looks like, to me, I'll go out and say it, I think Dropbox are pivoting to be a business customer as well, which is fascinating given the OneDrive news. And everybody seems to be focusing where the money is all of a sudden.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So in this move, they said things like HIPAA-related businesses can use Dropbox now because there's an agreement that customers can sign if they're using Dropbox Enterprise that everything goes along with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And there's also something about the Health Information and Economic and Clinical Health Act. Jesus, high tech.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's that and a couple other things. Like you could have suspended user state. Some of these things are in early access. So like suspended user state, greater control and flexibility when users leave employees leave the company by letting admins disable their access before they delete it. You can sign on as a user, gives team admins to log in to an employee's account to maintain business continuity. And custom branding. Whoa. Custom branding to your Dropbox, right?
Yeah. Who would ever want to do that?
No one wants to do that, right? In SharePoint space, I've never heard that request.
Never. I just really, it was just really interesting timing that OneDrive came out with that announcement, which basically said to me, hey, we're only going to care about business. And then Dropbox, like the next day, I think, came out with Dropbox Enterprise. And they basically said, oh, look, hey, we've got to make money eventually. We might as well go where the money is. And that's in business and enterprise.
Yep.
Curious.
So another bit of news is that Microsoft also announced this past week that they're going to start, they're going to discontinue the Office 365 E4 SKU and replace it with the E5 SKU. So the big difference here is that the E5 SKU is going to include Skype for Business with features such as it's currently in preview, but the Cloud PBX and Meeting Broadcast. So that's pretty cool because it allows you, like, we used to have a service called Link to Phone, and then they dropped the phone part to where you could have a virtual phone number that you could call in, people could call into or call out of, and the entire call would go through Link, and you could have a one of these IP phones that you could still do the calls.
It's like Skype in and Skype out.
Yeah, it's like Skype in, Skype out. So this one, what they're doing is they're doing the same kind of concept, but it's more enterprise-friendly and managed completely by Office 365. And you can do number porting just recently got introduced to it. So I remember I was a Link to Phone person and I ported my Vonage number up to Link to Phone and then they dropped Link to Phone and then I Skype for a Skype in number would not do number porting. So I'm having to use this forwarding number to maintain the same business number. That number forwards to my Skype in number. So I'm looking forward to going to this, but frankly, from a past experience, I've not set it up yet. I have been playing with the Cloud PBX, but I don't have faith that Microsoft isn't going to pivot on this one yet after the last time, so I'm not moving a number around just yet.
Yeah, based on your experience, we're using Grasshopper.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's other things that get you, like new analytics features like Power BI Pro, Dell Organizational Analytics, new advanced security features such as eDiscovery, Customer Lockbox, DLP Protection, Safe Attachments. That's some of that stuff is already in some of the existing plans like E3, but E5 is going to give you a lot more stuff here. This new plan is going to be available starting on December the 1st.
The price list on December 1, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they haven't said how much it's going to be yet. And E4 currently is $22
Just imagine those conversations happening at the moment.
Yeah. So E4 is $22. So we can only imagine that E5 is going to be a little bit more. I would hopefully it's only a little bit more. Hopefully it's not like a lot more.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting one. Like, I don't know why we need an E5. Like, why wouldn't you just add stuff to E4? And it seems to me like the only reason why you might want an E5 is to give the Microsoft field something to go sell.
Yeah, that's a good theory on it, because, I mean, you got Cloud PBX, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big jump. Yeah. So the article that we linked to in our in Flipboard is an article from ZDNet by Mary Jo Foley. And she's saying that one of her contacts with licensing expertise speculates that the E5 could go for $20 to $40 total per user per year more than Office 365. So that's not $20 to $40 on top of 22, what we do in E4. So what she's saying is that right now E4 is $22 a month. If you amortize that over the course of the entire year, it's $264. What she's saying is that price could go up from $264 up to anywhere from $284 to $304.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right.
Per year.
Yeah. So you're not looking, it wouldn't be, it'd be like maybe, it sounds like what she's saying is anywhere from like $3 to $7 or $8 more per user per month.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, we'll watch for that.
Yeah. New one there.
Definitely. So in some Azure news, Microsoft are making Red Hat Linux available on Azure.
Boom. This is huge.
Yeah. So far it's been, there's been various varieties of Azure available. Of Linux. There's been various varieties of Linux, like Ubuntu and CentOS and SUSE and stuff like that, available in Azure, but not Red Hat. And basically, Microsoft and Red Hat have gotten to bed together and said, hey, we're going to make sure that it'll run nicely on Azure and they're able to support it and do all that sort of stuff and make sure it all runs nicely. So that was news that came out of on November the 4th from Scott Guthrie, who's the EVP of Cloud and Enterprise Division at Microsoft, which would be pretty sweet. I mean, that's, you know, there was a huge amount of Linux running in Azure already. And Red Hat's a pretty popular choice from my understanding in terms of people running Linux on-prem. And so kind of naturally, Azure wants to be able to move those customers to the cloud, but they're not going to necessarily switch OSs. So they kind of had to do this to make sure they were getting that share of the market.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal, especially for the support side. But I think that there's some other stuff too. Again, in the article that we'll link to by Mary Jo Foley on ZDNet, or that's already linked to in our Flipboard. But one of the things that this really does, that does a big deal for, is that they, you know, this is not the first time that Microsoft and Red Hat have kind of gotten in bed together or have come to an agreement on stuff, because back in 2009, they each joined each other's virtualization validation certification programs. But one of the other things that's a big deal about this is that they both, under this new agreement, they've come to an agreement that they would have a patent, some sort of patent arrangement, that they will not file patents in lawsuits about patents against each other or go after each other's customers. That's part of like what this whole agreement's all about. So that's a pretty big deal, to where they're becoming, these two companies are becoming much, much more friendly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that'll be kind of cool. I think they're going to do stuff like co-locate support together as well, so that when an Azure customer calls up about Red Hat Linux running on Azure, that they can service those support desk calls, things like that. That's
a big deal.
That'll make a nice experience for people.
Yeah, that's a really big deal for everybody. So
groovy. All right. Oh, we're laughing about another blog post you've seen here.
There's another article here that's in the same one, the Red Hat one, but it was somebody else that had a comment about the OneDrive piece that we talked about earlier. And he says, yeah, but a few hours later came this news, the OneDrive Monday Night Massacre.
Dude, it was carnage on the internet. I feel for the team having to deal with it back at Microsoft. I know exactly how those things go down. And the internet was just awash with negativity. Like, I didn't see one piece that had anything positive to say about this.
Yep.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty comical. Pretty comical. So we got one
hey,
more last
thing. Speaking of comical.
Oh, God. Here's our last one. We got to end with this one, right? Okay, so a couple days ago on the Office Blogs site, so on blogs.office.com, again, this article is on our Flipboard. Again, if you don't know what we're talking about with Flipboard, go to the site, go to the post for this episode. And in the show notes, we have a link to this. But there's an article from October the 28th that's titled, Gartner Recognizes Microsoft as a Leader in the 2015 Magic Quadrant for Social Software in the Workplace for 7 years running. And, you know, okay, so what is Microsoft's social play in this whole thing? It's Yammer, right? That's the business, that's the enterprise social play in this. I got to be kind of careful on how I say this, but I'll be as polite and as professional as I possibly can in just saying that, you know, I really dislike Yammer.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do as well, a lot of frustration, but the thing that really just concerned me about this is that Microsoft was, if you're familiar with the Magic Quadrant, where in the top right corner, if you're in the top right quadrant, you're considered a leader and a visionary, and Microsoft is seen way above and beyond everyone else in the top right corner. They're above IBM, Jive, Salesforce, Google. Yeah.
Maybe this is a way of saying they dislike it the least. I don't know. I'm so confused by this. You know, like, analysts have a very interesting job. Let's just put it that way. And sometimes those views lag maybe a year or two behind the industry.
Yep.
Because it takes, I saw a great quote where if you say the same thing straight for 2 years, then analysts get on board. And so
2 years is not really it's a short time in the tech industry right now.
Right. So not so much.
Yeah.
So maybe
it's the bullshit meter's kind of flowing on the far
maybe
side.
Maybe it's just the sort of lagging indicator, right? That this is not really current. I don't know.
This is just, yeah.
I mean, who else would you put at the top right, though?
Well, that's the thing is when I look at everybody else that's on this chart, the only company that I would really look at in terms of enterprise social software is, I would not say IBM. I'm surprised that IBM is as close to Microsoft as from all the other ones. But
Jive
is the one that I would put up there as the closest to Microsoft. Really, I'd put them ahead of Microsoft.
I mean, but Microsoft is doing some stuff in the space outside of Yammer, right?
They are, but I mean,
so things with Delve and stuff like that about working together.
But there, I mean, look, in this whole thing, there's very little mention of something like Delve. I mean, Delve's mentioned in here, but this is a Yammer post.
Yeah.
This is all about Yammer. The thing that I look at this and I see, where is enterprise social collaboration going in terms of, for business? And where do I see a lot of it happening? I see a lot more of it happening over in Slack. But part of these things with like looking at some the analysts like such as Gartner, they don't talk to a lot. They don't talk to everybody. And they don't talk to, I guess, some of these up and coming style companies. And I know that Slack is really not, I wouldn't consider it so much up and coming when you look at what their valuation is. But still, I don't know. I mean, I look at Slack and I see a hell of a lot more adoption with Slack and a lot easier use with Slack than I do of things with Yammer. So
let's treat it as a lagging indicator as opposed to a leading indicator.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not leading to me.
No, it doesn't feel that way.
Enterprise social is still a funny thing to me. It seems like a fad that no one's talking about these days. They were talking about a year or two, telling us that it needed to be important.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that tail didn't wag this dog, so
yeah,
I didn't buy
it. Seems to have disappeared.
All right.
Right on.
Good stuff.
Great catching up in person.
Absolutely, man. Always fun. Always fun.
A pleasure.
So I guess until next week.
Until next time.
Cool. Have a good one, everyone.
See ya.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com. where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.